Diamond Answer Man, Episode 8. Know when to walk out the door. Welcome to the Diamond Answer Man Show, where our goal is to help each other learn more about the world of diamonds and feel confident about our purchases that memorialize our special moments, birthdays, anniversaries, and especially engagements. You may reach me at DiamondAnswerMan.com, where you may leave me a voicemail message, and I will look forward to how we can help each other. You may also call me at 803-792-1326. Leave me a voicemail message there. And this podcast this week is about a news article I read about on ABC News. Well, this is a strange sort of podcast I'm going to... I shouldn't say strange. It's a unique podcast. I'm going to use a news article as an example of what you should look for and not to buy at a jewelry store. And this is a case where an elderly man buys a piece of jewelry. And the article is slightly confusing because in one portion it talks about a necklace and in another portion it talks about it being bracelets. So I'm not sure what it is he actually purchased. But I'll give you the gist of it and I'm going to quote the ABC article. If you want to look it up, it's at abcnews.go.com and you'll have to search for it. It's under the title Elderly Michigan Man Mistakenly Buys $25,000 Diamond Necklace. Well, in this case, I think by using this news article, I can highlight what type of store not to buy from. And not because I necessarily think that the owner of the store's name is La Jolla Fine Jewelry, but that the owner of the store, Curtis Goh or Goff, did anything illegal. I think they probably followed every policy and procedure as upheld by their credit card company, and I believe most likely it would have been upheld by the Better Business Bureau, that they did everything in their right to not return something. Well, here's the gist of the story. An elderly, and this is quoting the ABC News article, elderly Michigan man mistakenly buys $25,000 diamond necklace. And here's my synopsis. Gentleman goes into the jewelry store, wants to buy a replacement battery for his watch and a small gift for his wife. The gentleman is 90 years old, and later in the article we find out that he suffers from some cognitive impairments, so he doesn't remember things as well, I'm guessing. And he went into the jewelry store. The owner of the store sees him, greets him, according to the article, but the owner of the store was not the person who sold him the piece of jewelry. Now, somewhere in the conversation of getting a watch battery replacement, he mentions that he's looking for a small gift for his wife, most likely an anniversary gift, because they mentioned the date of 65 years. Here's where it goes wrong. The article then states that Maury buys what he believes is a rhinestone, in this case it calls it a necklace, for $20. But in the article it also states that further on, as his daughter receives the statement, they find that this piece of jewelry is a $25,000 diamond piece of jewelry, and Maury thought that the item was rhinestone. The gentleman was in an industry that, if I remember what he used to do, I'll bring it up. But he was in a technical field where I guess it's not really relevant, but I always find that the gentlemen in economics and certain technical fields are a little bit more, well, actually it says he was an economics professor in Chelsea, Michigan. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I've worked with so many people over the years and I find that economics specialists or people that deal with monies and numbers tend to be less free with their expendable funds than other individuals. And that's probably because that's all they do is they crunch and they analyze and save. Accountants can be the same way. And there's nothing wrong with that. The only relevance is it lends me to believe, based upon my experience, that his statements of understanding that it was a rhinestone item was more than likely his true perception. And one thing I want to make sure you understand is when you buy in a jewelry store or anywhere where you're dealing with something of high value, art, cars, jewelry, whatever fine luxury boats, luxury item you would put in that area, we tend to drop the trailing zeros. So if something is $25,000, it becomes 25. If it's $10,000, it becomes 10. If it's $75,000, it becomes 75. If it's $1,500, it becomes 15. It just depends upon the item that we're looking at. We don't, as salespeople, we tend to assume you understand the value of something because of where you are. And that when we use these rounded numbers, that you kind of comprehend that the diamond or the piece of jewelry or the piece of art is $25,000. Now, that doesn't absolve us of any liability other than we make sure that we always put it on the receipt and that you sign the receipt. Here's that legal portion that La Jolla Fine Jewelry did do. Obviously, the gentleman paid for the item. He signed for the item. In this article, it talks about how the credit card company stood behind the jewelry store. Maury obviously signed for everything. So he looked at his receipt and his paperwork. So unfortunately, he didn't necessarily do all of his due diligence in making sure he signs for what he's completely aware of when he's purchasing. Now, that would be the one thing that's on the onus of any consumer, including myself. We want to make sure we protect ourselves in all situations and in all cases. We want to make sure sometimes when we go to the grocery store and we're about ready to sign our credit card receipt or before we key in our ATM or debit card number as we swiped it, we're watching the monitor because sometimes the cashier there, that person that's working there, will accidentally scan an item twice. Or maybe on the other side, they forget, they miss something. And then obviously, we're talking about personality, enthusiasm, and integrity. And if we have integrity, when they misscan something or miss something altogether, we say, hey, you missed that, right? Or if something ends up in our bag that we didn't pay for, we come back and we pay for it. So there's the positives on both sides. We're protecting ourselves, and then we're delivering our own personal high degree of integrity. So we always want to make sure we look at what we're signing, because what we're signing becomes a legal obligation with our credit card company. There's a reason why they always state on the back of credit cards, this is not valid unless it's signed. The signature is supposed to match on the receipt. And if those two things match, then the customer, then the jewelry store did their due diligence, well, that was hard to say, to make sure you're you, and that you're fulfilling your obligation that's stating that you're willing to pay the credit card company for whatever it is you buy. Well, in this case, Maury did not realize that he had purchased a $25,000 piece of jewelry until his daughter, Carol, notices what was on the statement. And he said, according to the article, that I bought your mom a really pretty rhinestone necklace there. And obviously it wasn't a piece of necklace. The sad thing that happened afterwards is that his daughter had called up the jewelry store and asking if they would be willing to refund it. Now we find out that a credit card company stood behind the jeweler, and I'm going to again say probably the Better Business Bureau also, they stood behind the jeweler. And that they have a strict no return policy on all of their jewelry. And it states so on their receipts, and it also states so in their store. Unfortunately, as he says earlier in the article, that he says they don't rent out costume jewelry. So there's a little biting sarcasm. And I think that's unfortunate. If that's true, right? And again, I'm quoting an article, and I've seen articles written that aren't necessarily true to one's character or even true to what is being said. So we have to be cautious here. But I do note that the company or the person who bought this, the family who bought this piece, and Maury himself, they're not able to return it because of the return policy. And obviously, it's probably within a 30-day time frame. So we want to make sure that we pay attention to our receipts. We want to make sure that we have a conversation about return policy. And I think that's probably where we'll just stop. We want to make sure that in this case, we don't ever, as consumers, end up on the wrong side of the coin. My focus is for jewelers always to present themselves, and jewelers to present themselves to their clients with a win-win situation. It should never be a win-lose. I'm telling you that if you ever go into a store which has a strict no return policy, that's a win-lose situation. If anything happens, and I mean anything, that one in a thousand chance that something goes the wrong direction for what you perceived your special moment. Because remember, I believe we're in this business to help create special moments, not make bad moments. So any jeweler that's in the business that has a win-lose sort of perspective, because they're fearful that they're going to somehow lose something by not standing behind their work, there's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing that that is wrong as far as the law would be concerned. But I think it's an area where we have an integrity issue. So here's what I want you to make sure you do. Always ask a store if they own the item. This is after you find out about their return policy. Let me step back for a second. Always look for a store that has a liberal return policy. That would be a store that has a 30-day or more return policy. So 30 days would be the bare minimum. If they don't have that, if they have a 7 or a 15 days, forget it. I'm saying 30-day or more return policy. That's because somewhere in between, you're going to see your statement. And if you had a charge that is incorrect or anything, and I'm not saying that the credit card company wouldn't stand behind if you signed and the charge was wrong. If you sign and it says $25,000 and they bill you for $30,000, obviously there's an issue somewhere there the credit card company is going to stand behind. But let's say it falls in that period where you get your statement and you need to, for whatever personal reason. Remember, we should want to always... And because you're always wanting to create, we should always be in the position to help you make special moments. Maury was looking for a little gift to help make a special moment for his wife of 65 years. And here now we have a moment which is probably causing severe strife. So it went exactly the opposite of what our goal would be. So a store that has a liberal return policy, 30 days or more, then after their return policy has expired, if not already included, a store that has a liberal exchange policy. That's if they have an expiration date for their return. So if it's after 30 days, then we have exchanges for up to 90. Something like that, some variation like that. You need to make sure you're dealing with somebody who is going to try to take care of you and help you make special moments. So one thing that would be a little small area that I'd want you to pay attention to and ask is always ask the store if they own their own inventory or if the inventory they carry is on consignment, or we use the term memorandum. And if they're that kind of a store, what difference does this make in their return policy? I know there are certain cases where certain stores will bring something in on consignment. That's where a person will bring a piece of jewelry. They'll want to sell a used item. And when they sell it on consignment, then there is no return. It's a final sale in those consignment situations. And then you have this situation where a jeweler may operate a storefront and a certain portion of their jewelry will be on consignment from a manufacturer, and we call that memorandum. And that jewelry, because the jeweler will only pay for it after you buy it, you're not able to return that item. Sometimes you're only able to exchange. And that would go against what I'm saying. I want you to make sure you buy from a store that has a liberal minimum 30-day return policy. That's in all cases. So here's what it tells us when we buy from a store that's willing to stand behind their work. It tells us their soundness financially. So it tells us that they are in this business for the long haul. They're wanting to make special moments. And in that case where it didn't really turn out special or something was wrong, they want to continue trying to make your moment special and take care of you. And so that they have some sort of financial backing that allows them to be able to give you that whatever it was that you gave them back to make you whole. Here's what it also tells you. It tells you their dedication to the industry. How dedicated are they in being involved in the jewelry industry? Are they in this for the short term or are they in this for the long haul? So how dedicated are they? So if we go back to previous podcasts, we look for people who have personality, enthusiasm, and integrity. When we look at return policies and how liberal they are, it tells us about their soundness, their dedication, and then we go back all the way full circle to integrity, and we look, and it tells us about their ethics. How ethical are they about being in the business? It may not necessarily concern anything about legalities, but how ethical are they? When you have a situation to where a customer who's And I'm not absolving anybody of their legal liability when we buy something and sign for it, but when we have a special case where we have an elderly man in his 90s who has cognitive impairments, and where I'm assuming the sales associate, not the owner of the store, said, "That's a beautiful bracelet. I'm looking for some," you know, he says, "I'm looking for something of my wife for 65 years. And he or she says, "Well, this is a beautiful bracelet or necklace." There's some confusion in the story. "And this one here is 20 or 25. That sales associate has been trained to say 20 or 25. The assumption is the customer knows that it's 20 or 25,000. Except in this case, that's not necessarily true. And then he signs the receipt. So we have an issue of ethics where we have a special situation to where maybe they are not, and I'm not saying they are not, are or are not able to pay for this bill, but we have a situation to where this gentleman has never ever bought from this store, according to the story, anything of significance other than minor things such as watch batteries, and then he comes in and he drops $25,000 on his credit card. There's something confusing going on. The second thing that's sort of frustrating is how the owner, according to the story, says to the daughter as she calls and tries to work it out with the jeweler, explaining what had happened, asking if he would be willing to refund it. He, quote, says this. He said, "We don't rent out costume jewelry." And I'm not sure about the sarcasm or bitterness behind that comment, but I certainly would not allow any associate to work for my store and present themselves, even if they would say something like that jokingly. That is not a kind statement to make, and it causes the daughter to come back with her own biting sarcasm. So this is not making special moments. So let's make sure we always look for a company that has a liberal return policy, a liberal exchange policy. It tells us about their soundness in the industry. It tells us about their soundness, not in the industry, but soundness, their solvency, how financially strong they are. It tells us about their dedication. It tells us about their ethics. And these things should always be clearly posted. Now, if you decide you need to buy from a designer or someone else or any small store or big store for that matter that does not have a return policy and you absolutely have to buy that item, make sure you negotiate a return time frame on your receipt and make sure you negotiate that return time frame with the managers. So a true representative of the company, the manager's signature signing that you'd have a 30-day or more return policy. So here's a store that is not willing to stand behind their work. It tells us it's not necessarily true, but it tells us they might not be financially strong. It tells us that they're not dedicated to making special moments, making that magic that lasts a lifetime and will last generation upon generation. And now they've been put on ABC News, and now there's hundreds and hundreds of posts of which I've participated a couple, on this article, talking about how horrible this store is. And if I were this gentleman who owns the store, I would do whatever it took to make this right, because the damage is already done. All we can do is hopefully repair the situation and present ourselves, not necessarily in a positive light, but to correct the damage done to our or his reputation. So always make sure you buy from a store, and I'm going to repeat it again, and I know it's just going to drive you crazy because I say it over and over again in this podcast. Look for a store that has a liberal return policy. All right. So if you want to find out more about this article, and I would encourage you to comment on the posts, and if anyone knows this family, I would be happy to talk with them, find out, as I put in my post on abcnews.com, abcnews.go.com, I put in the post that I'd be happy to find out who the manufacturer of the bracelet is and try to negotiate with that manufacturer. And I'm not trying to put myself in the middle of the situation. I'm just hoping that somebody will step up and try to help repair what should have been a memorable moment. And so if anybody knows the family, I'd be happy to talk with them. Anyway, so the other update that I'm going to give you is the update to my website. I've updated the website. I've taken off some things on my affidavit of diamond grade and statement of buyer's rights. I just updated it this morning. I've added to the form, I've added the detail of natural origin and ethically mined. So there's statements on there that starts off with that the jeweler is guaranteeing that the diamond is of natural origin, and that it was mined in a way that was ethical, you know, so good for the environment and good for the local people in the community. And the reason why I bring that up is because there has been an influx, or I should say a situation, to where just recently, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where synthetic chemical vapor deposition diamonds, that's called CVD, were submitted to a jewelry lab, that laboratory called IGI, for laboratory reports, and the dealer supposedly did not know when he purchased them that they were chemical vapor deposition diamonds. So I want to make sure I put that on the statement, the diamond buying and grade statement. So if you buy a diamond from a jeweler that does not have a laboratory report with it, or even if it does, I believe you can still use this statement of buyer's rights, that if you sent the diamond off and it turns out that it was not natural, then you would also be able to return the diamond. And also, it also adds the statement of ethically mined. And I should say, support the Kimberley process, and that, of course, make sure that none of us deal with what the trade considers conflict, or what was heavily promoted, blood diamonds. It's something I feel very, very strongly about. And the Kimberley process tries to make sure that there is some sort of paper trail coming from mine to polisher, to jobber, and then to the jeweler, or whatever the wholesaler would be in between. So you can track the diamond from mine to ring. And the Kimberley process makes sure that the diamonds that you're buying, especially here in the United States, it's a process that we've had for a few years now, that nothing that you're buying comes from any conflict areas. Well, I added the statement. I didn't say conflict. I said ethically mined. And that's because conflict generally refers to where they would have some sort of governmental issue where you have one party or one subversive group forcing people to mine. They're harming them in some way, and they're using those funds to push their agenda. But then ethically mined should also, I added ethically mined because you can have a company or a country that is not under some sort of split, and they're not having issues to where they're having strife between political parties and there's coups going on, but they're just pushing their people unethically to mine, and maybe they're in some way not treating their people as good as they should. In the case of where I'm referring to Zimbabwe, And I don't believe we should ever purchase diamonds at this point. I should say we're on June 12th today. I don't believe we should be buying diamonds on June 12th, 2012 from Zimbabwe just because of the way the country is run and how I believe that they're forcing people to mine. But there is no conflict per se. They are just very unethical in their processes, in my opinion. So I wanted to make sure I added ethically, because that would cover all of the different terms that we would use, because conflict would automatically be included as unethical. So they'd be ethically mined. There are countries in the world that where they have ethical mining processes, where the funds from the mining goes back to the community, building schools and training people and creating trades and really driving the society in a positive way. Remember, diamonds should be bought and sold and traded because they help memorialize special moments. So they should never start off bad and then be perceived to be good at the end. I think it should be a positive process all the way through. As a consumer, when we buy something, we never want to think, oh goodness, did I do the right thing? I want you always to feel good. So in my statement, it has the ethically mined statement. Now you may buy, excuse me, I said buy, you don't have to buy anything. You may download this file. That's the affidavit of diamond grade and statement of diamond buyer's rights. From my website at diamondanswerman.com. It's probably the second post down. You may also visit it at diamondanswerman.com/buyers-rights/, and that'll bring you to that page, but you'll see it under the blog tab at right there, and you can go ahead and click on the download button. You'll also send a tweet out from my website, so I would thank you for that you'll send a tweet telling people about my diamondanswerman.com website, and the download will automatically occur. I added, you know, all these different little things because of what's been happening in the news lately, and I think it covers so much. So on the report, it talks about the color, the clarity, the carat weight, the lab report if it has one. It automatically includes if it's the natural origin, if it's ethically mined. It also includes the shape. It includes a 90-day return or exchange at the at your discretion. So if you buy something and it turns out that it doesn't grade, and you can go to your own laboratory of choice. So if they have a diamond that has no laboratory report or has a laboratory report, if you take it to your laboratory of choice and it ends up being a lower grade than what they sold you originally, then they could, at your discretion, supply you with a new diamond that would match the size, the weight, the grade, and all the different characteristics that goes into it at your discretion, or they could just refund it. Now, certain things, if they match or don't match, they may also, part of this agreement, refund the difference in the lab report costs. So I think this is a very positive agreement. I will tell you, you'll make a few jewelers nervous in signing this. However, I know that there are a lot of people in the trade who will always stand behind. So we're going to go back full circle behind their work. So they're sound financially, they have dedication to the industry, and they're ethical. And they will, no matter what you put in front of them that states, are you going to stand behind this? You're stating it's this. Will you give me my money back or do something for me in the positive if it's not what it is? And if they are rock stars, and you've heard me use that before, if they are rock stars, if they are stars in the jewelry industry, they will absolutely always, always, always stand behind their work. And so this is both a positive podcast, but it also warns you and helps you how to know who to not ever buy from. So I just want to leave you with that. This is a short sort of 30-minute podcast. I tend to go on and on when we're talking about other subjects, but we got two things right here. A store that did not do what they should have done in making a special moment, and then an affidavit of diamond grade and statement of buying rights that protects you when you buy from any store and presents anything for you. Thanks for listening to this podcast. This is the Diamond Answer Man podcast, and I'll look forward to speaking to you next week. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you've got any questions about this podcast, you may call me at 803-792-1326. You may also reach me at diamondanswerman.com, where on that right-hand side, you can leave me a voicemail message just by clicking that link, and right from your computer, you can send me a message. So you can call me, or you may send me a voicemail message through that site. You may also leave comments on any of my posts with the Live Fire plugin. I'll look forward to hearing from you. Thanks again for listening to my show.